seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to the second book of Samuel, chapter 2, and verses 6 and 7. The second book of Samuel, chapter 2, and verses 6 and 7. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you. And I also will requite you this kindness, because ye have done this thing. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah hath anointed me king over them. The second book of Samuel, chapter 2, and verses 6 and 7. What a wonderful mercy, beloved friends, if the Lord to favour us each personally with more, to know more and more of his kindness to us. And I just want to go a little further with this before we go further with the text. First of all, we need the eye of faith so often to be given to us to view the kindness of the Lord. And this is why the world and man by nature take so much for granted, because they have no faith. But with the real child of God, he gives them the eye of faith to see and to view the kindness of their God. And David could write this from experience, couldn't he? He could speak it from experience, because he had known it for himself. And think of the kindness of the Lord in giving us his holy word. How many times do you go to the word of God when you're in trouble or in need or in distress or have many things to burden you and exercise you? And in the word your very case is described. And you can see the kindness of the Lord, that he has left it on record that the things you're in have been experienced by many that have gone before. And how many times do we view the kindness of the Lord in his sweet promises? I did hint at it this morning, but you think of those precious promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. And the Lord in his kindness to his dear children has granted such promises. And why does he give them? Well, because first of all, the child of God will need them. And they won't need them just for today. They'll need them for the steps to come. When I think of those wonderful promises the Lord gave to dear Joshua when he was to take up the mantle from Moses, leading the children of Israel into the promised land. You know, those promises were life and power to Joshua. And he didn't just need them that day when the Lord spoke them to him. Such as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. It was a wonderful word for Joshua to venture forward with, wasn't it? But he didn't just need it that day. All the steps of his journey, right the way through till the Lord took him home to glory, he was going to need it. And so it is with you and me. And in the Lord's kindness, he grants it, you see, to his dear children. But then you can look at it in a natural way. I thought, you know, when we went home dinner time and it was raining, I thought, you know, really, look at the kindness of the Lord in granting the rain for the good of the earth. His kindness. He reminds me so often, I've mentioned it before, but of a farmer, old farmer down in Wiltshire. The two farmers were talking. It was a very dry summer. It was the beginning of summer and it was very dry. And one of the old farmers said to the other, well, you know, how well are your crops growing? And the other said to him, well, it'd be all right if the Lord left it alone. Well, the Lord heard what he said. And what happened? He did leave it alone, and all the man's crops died through drought. You see, the kindness of the Lord in sending, we have a lot of complaints by man about it raining. But you know it's vital for the earth and for the nourishment of the earth and for the good of man upon the earth. He's promised, hasn't he? In that wonderful promise that he gave to Noah at the close of the flood. Seed time and harvest. Summer and winter, cold and heat, day and night shall not cease. And he gave that, you know, to Noah and to all generations in his kindness. Oh, he did. And then you think of the sunshine, how vital it is for the earth and for man. There are many that have been lacking this year, I understand, with various things in body because there's not been much sun on different occasions. There's wonderful vitamins in the sunshine. There's wonderful favours. And think about it spiritually, not just the sun naturally. We think of the glorious sun of righteousness. In the Lord's kindness, he sent his beloved Son into this earth, as we looked at this morning. But ah, you think of this. Unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You know, when the sun comes out, how nature wonderfully responds. Sometimes you can look at a flower and it's all closed up in the night season. As soon as the sun begins to rise and the warmth of it, that flower opens up in response. And think about it spiritually. In our hearts, do we not need the Lord to shine within? What does the hymn writer say? Lord Jesus, shine, and then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan. And when the Lord shines within us, he shows us what we are. He reveals all the filth and guilt there is in our hearts. You've only got to look at something that, and you think, well, is it clean? You take it into the sunlight. You may clean the windows, and then the sun comes out. You'll soon see the places you've missed. It reveals everything. And so the Lord does as he shines in the hearts of his dear people. But he shines too to warm them when they're cold and lifeless and dead. How often I have to plead the Lord would shine into my poor heart when I feel cold and lifeless and unexercised. And he shines within and stirs up real exercise within us, real concern. It's a wonderful thing. And he gives it in his kindness, as he gives the Son naturally in his kindness to man, in spite of all their sin. You know, I thought sometimes of late, with all the solemn sin there is in the nation, running down our streets, and the iniquity there is, and the laws that are so contrary to the word of God, and yet the Lord still sends the sunshine, in spite of all our sin. And you think about it spiritually, what a mercy still shines in sinners' hearts, midst all the sin there is within. So we have this desire, dear David, and now the Lord show kindness. You think, and just one thing further, much could be said on this, but you think of this. As you venture on, you may have many things before you from today that concern you. May you see his kindness not only following you, not only with you, but as you go into the future. I often think of that word, and have mentioned it, of David in Psalm 23. What did he say? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He could look back and see how that goodness had followed him. The Lord's kindness to him, right up to that present day. But then, what about the future? Well, we sung it on Thursday, didn't we? What was written by the dear hymn writer in reference to what the Lord said to Moses? I will make all my goodness to pass before thee in the way. And if he promises you that, poor soul, you'll better see the kindness of the Lord going before you. You know, some beautiful promises in God's holy word of the Lord promising to go before his dear people. Just as the dear Saviour did when he rose, and he went before the dear disciples into Galilee, and there they should find him. He says, doesn't he, in his ministry, my sheep hear my voice. And he says, the good shepherd goeth before the sheep, and the sheep follow him. He goes before. We think of that beautiful promise in Deuteronomy 31, what the Lord spoke through Moses to Joshua. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, he will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. The kindness of the Lord going before his dear children, preparing the way for them. And then too, that beautiful word, what the Saviour said in John 14. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. It seemed very sweet to me when I drove home dinner time, thinking of that word, you know. He's prepared a place in glory, in his great kindness to his dear people, for every one of them. And heaven will not be complete without them. Oh no. Everyone, you see, there's that appointed place for them. I've gone to prepare a place. And what a mercy it is, poor soul, he has prepared that place. And in his kindness he has, hasn't he? So he says here, and now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you. Now, not only did he desire kindness for them, but he desired truth for them. We live in a day where there's so much untruth. But what a mercy it is, there is the truth. And that truth is fixed in Christ. Oh, it is. He said, didn't he? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. You know, if you go to a court of law and various things that us ministers have had to swear oath on, where you speak the truth and nothing but the truth. And we need to ever bear that in mind with us. Not only servants, everyone. Is it truth? Because if it isn't truth, it's a lie. Let's be clear in it. And here, he desires for them not only the kindness of the Lord, that he would show it to them, but he would show them the truth. And really, in this word, as the Holy Spirit may unfold it to you and to me, he was setting forth a precious Jesus, really, as the truth. Oh, yes. Every word, you know, that dropped from the lips of the Saviour was truth from beginning to end. This is why the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the enemies of Christ couldn't receive it, because they didn't like the truth. And there's many like that today, you know. But what he desires for them is truth. And this is what every real exercised child of God will want, the truth. And here he desires it, you see, he says, and now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you. Has he shown you the truth? Has he shown you the need of a precious Jesus as the truth, the way, for your poor soul? We read in the word, thy word is truth. Oh, it is. And you think, really, you know, with the solemn state, I don't have to remind you of it, of the country and the solemn state of things generally, is, you see, many of our laws are turned away from the truth. If you go back in history, and I'm not a historian, but if you go back, all the laws of this land were originally based on the word of God, because that was truth. But oh no, they want to water it down. They want to make it acceptable to man. They have departed from the truth. And you know, if we are like that, and this is where those in light things in religion, they water it down to make it acceptable to man. And they're departing from the truth. And what a solemn day it'll be when we come down to our dying bed if we're not fixed on truth. Stayed on a precious Jesus. You think how solemn? Well, may this desire be sweetly fulfilled in each of our hearts. It is my soul's desire. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you. And the sinner that really knows it will know, and they acknowledge, not in word, just in word, but they're acknowledging in their hearts that they are poor, wretched sinners and they can do nothing toward their salvation. It's only through a precious Jesus, that your poor soul and mine will ever be saved. He's the truth. I am the way, the truth and the life. And you look in his ministry. It was full of truth from beginning to end. I remember when I first went in the ministry, one of the dear old faithful servants of God, he said to me, he said, always back your ministry by two things. And I've ever sought to do it. First, back it by the word of God, because that is truth. Secondly, back it by experience, that you've walked it out, because then you know it. George Rose used to say, the old eminent servant of God, he used to say, I never say I think when I'm preaching. I always say I know. Because he said, I only preach those things that I know. And I know their truth. Now think of this beautiful word that David set before them. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you. And oh, may we, as we go through from this day onwards, know more and more the blessed experience of that. Lord, show me thy truth. Show me thy way. Show me thy will. You don't want to be left to yourself in it, do you? Well, I'll leave that for your further meditation, but let us go further. And I also will requite you this kindness. Now, the kindness that David had received from the Lord and the kindness they had shown in burying Saul, David desired to requite them of it all, give them it again and again, the same kindness. That's a wonderful thing, you know. When there are those that are kind to you, all you desire is to do the same kindness to them, don't you? If it's real love. Oh, yes. You think of the kindness there is between husband, or should be, between husband and wife. The kindness they show. Our children, the kindness they show. And really, we should recompense them, I was going to say, with double. But here David desires to give them the same kindness that they had manifested, you see. You may have wondered why we read together in the book of Ruth this afternoon. when I thought upon this text, immediately the case of dear Ruth and Naomi, as I mentioned a little this morning, came to one's mind. But you think of when Ruth had been, just two things really, just briefly. She'd been in the field of Boaz. The Lord and his kindness had directed her to that field. She could glean there. And she could see the kindness of the Lord in it all. But when she returns to Naomi, what does Naomi say to her? And Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. Oh, think how Boaz, who was a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus, was so showing his kindness to dear Ruth and to Naomi. Oh yes. who hath not left off his kindness. You see, he'd been kind to them before, but now it was manifested more and more, his kindness. And then in the following chapter, and that's why we read chapter 3 as well, when Ruth had been in the threshing floor, and what did Boaz say? Well, many things, but this particular. And he said, "Blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast shown more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." Wonderful words from Boaz to her. And oh, may the Lord so grant that we may show kindness one to another. But let's be clear on one point. And that is this, even in correction. You know, you could speak to a person, but if you start to correct them, then immediately they retaliate. The Lord, when he corrects his dear children, he corrects them in his kindness. What do we read? Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And he corrects his children in love. It may be an affliction. He may lay his hand on them. He may cross them in providence like he did with Job. But the kindness of the Lord, you say, in correction. It's like a father or mother with their child. They see them doing wrong, they should correct them. It's running right. We know today, they say, oh, we shouldn't do this and you shouldn't do that. But correction is vital. If I do things that are wrong, I should expect to be corrected. But you see, here we need this kindness in the correction, you see. Kind, do it in a kind way. I thought of that word, what Paul wrote to the Ephesians. "And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted," and then listen, "forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Now you think of that's a beautiful word, really. Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. And you know, often if we correct, there will be forgiveness granted in it. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. It's a solemn thing. It has been seen, and I've experienced it, where a man at Staples on one occasion corrected one of the church members. He was not in the church himself, but he corrected this church lady church member because he felt she was walking wrongly. And for the rest of his life, she would never speak to him. And I often think of what her end was, you know. Because, you see, if there's no forgiveness, think how solemn it says, doesn't it, what we have just read to you. And then there's that word, too, in John's epistle, which I often think about, and may we lay it to heart and consider it prayerfully before the God of heaven. You see, that woman, and to me it was always, in all my life, and I often think about it, you know, she never really forgave my father for correcting. It says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Now, think of that searching word. But anyway, I must leave that because I want to go further with the text. But then we have in verse 7, this wonderful word, really. Therefore now, let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant. They were to know the love and kindness of the Lord. They were to know the truth. This is what he desires for them, and he was to requite them with the kindness for all that they had done. And then he says, therefore now let your hands be strengthened. You know, for us to do many things, we need strong hands, don't we? Oh, we do. Looking at it naturally. But think about it spiritually. What a wonderful thing when there's a strengthening of the hands of faith. You know, I often mention the woman with the issue of blood that she had for 12 years. But if you look closely in her case, the Lord wonderfully strengthened the hands of faith in her. That she might touch the border of Christ's garment with her natural hands, but with the hands of faith. She believed if she could but do that, she would be made whole. And the Lord strengthened her hands to do it. Oh, he did. And you think of what may be before you in life's journey. May the Lord grant that there may be in each of us the fulfillment of this. Now therefore now, let your hands be strengthened. And it may be in something that's before you, you're going to need these strong hands, you see. Oh yes. When I took the pastorate at Ashwa, one of the old ministers said to me this. He said, you're going to need strong hands. He said, not just naturally, but in all things. And it's a wonderful thing when the Lord strengthens our hands, isn't it? That when we get older, the hands naturally have not got the power they used to have. But how wonderful it is when the Lord strengthens us to do this, to do that. But think about it spiritually. Are your hands and mine and our arms reaching out for Christ? Because that's when the hands of faith are strengthened. They'll ever be reaching out for the dear Redeemer. It's like a little babe, isn't it? Or a little child. If that's in distress and its mother comes to it, it will immediately put up its little hands, won't it? He wants her to embrace it. He wants her to hold it. He wants her to support it. And you know, when we come into times of distress and sorrow and burdens and we're in the ends of the earth, oh, to be putting up our hands under God, that we may be strong in faith, giving God the glory. So he says to them, there's no doubt they'd had much sorrow, they'd had much opposition, there was many things to distress them. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and may the Lord grant it to us each. And be ye valiant. They got to venture forward, depending and leaning hard upon the Lord, dependent upon him, valiant. But this wasn't all what he said to them. For your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah hath anointed me king over you. Now, I hadn't really, it was the first part that was with me. I wasn't going to read this last part, but since I read it, it's come to me in this way. Saul was dead. They'd had to serve him over many years, but he was now dead. And David was anointed king over the house of Judah, God's dear people. Now, may the Lord just help me just briefly, and I must be done, but to look at this, it came to me so powerfully as we left it this morning, thinking of those lines in the text. They'd served Saul for many years, as I've just indicated. And many of us can look back in our early days when we served Satan, but the Lord killed us of it. There were many days when we served self, but we trust the Lord has killed us of it. They're dead. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. You think in your heart, if you're resting on your parents' religion, the day will come when you'll prove it's dead. If you're resting on the things of this world, the day will come, and will you, if you're a child of God, and I am, when it will be dead. No longer can serve it. Many have tried. And there are many things I could name, a whole discourse really, what we need killing from. They're dead. Why? Because there's no hope in them, no salvation in them. The soul that dies in that position will be confined to hell forever. But the wonderful mercy here is in their text, and also the house of Judah hath anointed me king over them. What he's referring to was a greater than David. None other than the Lord Jesus himself, who is the anointed one over God's dear people. They no longer serve Saul, the world, sin, Satan, and self. They serve the Lord, a precious Jesus. One is your master, Jesus said himself, even Christ. And you think, as David declares this, and also the house of Judah, favoured house, as we have looked at on different occasions, wonderful favoured house with the tribe of Judah. And you can look from Genesis to Revelations, and it speaks of the tribe of Judah. And Christ was born of the tribe of Judah. So as David speaks this, there was a blessed spiritual sense to it, that no longer were they serving Saul, a man of sin. They were to serve the God of heaven, a living Saviour, even Jesus. Well, I'll leave that all for your prayerful meditation, but you see, there is a wonder in all what God has recorded in his holy word. In all things, he draws the sinner away from self, from what they are, away from this world, to draw them to him. It's none but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And here these men were helpless. They had been through so much. And yet kindness was granted to them to bear it all. And not only this, David desires for them kindness and truth and a strengthening of their hands, and that he was king over all Judah, the house of Judah, to rule over them, to control everything they went through, to supply their every need, and they were to serve him. Thou shalt serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy very being. And think how solemn it is if we don't. Well, may the Holy Spirit apply the word, and may the Lord forgive anything amiss, and bless this word to our souls. May it live in us, not only today, the days to come, and may we plead it before the God of heaven that he will grant it to us. Amen.